You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Hello and welcome back to the Stadio Podcast. I'm Misa Kwonga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm right, thanks, man. How are you?
I mean, not as well as you. You're top of the league.
Well, momentarily.
Momentarily, but for the time being. But I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Are you looking forward to Chelsea, Manchester United tonight?
Always good to see a mid-table cut. Yes, I am. I am looking forward to it.
No, I'm excited. Just as a neutral, very excited to watch it.
Mm.
Yeah, I do have sympathy with Chelsea and Manchester United fans because not a fixture I would want on a Thursday night. Right ahead of the weekend as well, you know?
It's strange, isn't it? It's the speed at which these fixtures came around.
Oh.
It's almost like, I mean, it felt like City were playing like one day after the other. It's so weird. It felt like, wait, you were just playing yesterday? Yeah. Really odd. Yeah.
I mean, because of the bank holiday as well, and we came a bit late. Yeah. We recorded on Tuesday this week, so we were a bit
But
like,
just in terms of how it feels for them, like, you know, they were like, they said to Pep, why did you rest Haaland? And he was like, one game every 3 days. Come on, man. Like
my guy.
Even for huge squads, it's a lot on the muscles. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they looked all right without him, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But
we will.
If you want some Chelsea Manchester United chat, then Wrighty's House is the place to go on Friday because Miowa Quadri will be in the Chelsea corner.
Yes.
Carl Anker will be in the Manchester United corner.
With his fair and balanced commentary.
And Ian Wright will be very much kind of trying to referee that podcast.
No. Good luck with that.
So that'd be fun. Go check that out. Just a quick bit of admin. Actually, if you want some Arsenal chat about the Luton game, I was on the Arscast, which should be up by the time you listen to this with Andrew. Today we're just going to round up some stuff because some stuff happened and we shall round it up. We were going to talk about the Manchester City documentary on Netflix, but we didn't have time to watch it all, so we're going to maybe do that next week at some point. I saw a couple of clips and Pep's head was hot. It
was very.
Anyway, let's get on to today's show.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Right, man, we mentioned Man City, but do we go there first or do you want to start with do you want to start in Germany?
Yeah, let's start in Germany.
Yeah, let's do it. DFB Pokal semi-finals.
Mm.
The dream is over for Saarbrücken.
Yes.
They finally fell to Kaiserslautern, who are going to the Pokal final for the first time in 21 years. Last time they won it.
Yes.
Actually. And did they get, they got relegated that year, I think, Kaiserslautern as well.
Goodness me.
I think they got relegated from the Bundesliga, came back up the next year and then won the Bundesliga the year after that. It was quite a ride.
Wild. Well, actually, on that, so Kaiserslautern winning 2-0, Saarbrücken had their chances, though. They had a very, very good chance at the near post.
They did.
Near post header flashed wide, and that was the moment. Calamity that ensued. Keeper let one through his legs for Kaiserslautern's opener, and it came late. It came, well, about 40 minutes to go. There's still a bit of time, but they got a couple of goals in about 20 minutes, and that was the ball game.
I felt a little bit sorry for Tim Schreiber here, though, because the ball, if you look at the replay, it does look like he's in a good position for the ball to bounce. Normally, the ball takes a bit of a dead bounce.
Mm.
You know, we're like in cricket where batsmen get done underneath the bat.
Right.
Where it's like just stays low and kind of, it was a little bit like that. I think he should have done better, for sure. It was an error,
but also
no doubt.
It should have been 1-0. Should have been 1-0, Saarbrücken.
Kai Brunker should have definitely had one from that header. He might have had two.
Right, and the thing about this game, I think it was a strange one. It's almost like, this is an amateur psychologist, when you play a team that's closer to your level, maybe you lack a fraction of urgency. Because they lacked urgency, but efficiency or ruthlessness, I think. Maybe that's better. The level of ruthlessness you need to come through the rounds like they did against that kind of opposition. I mean, they knocked off three Bundesliga teams, and in each game they were absolutely extended to the best of their abilities. And I think the reason for the slight disappointment after this game might be that we've beaten better teams than that.
Yeah, I mean, reminder that this is a side that are 11th in the Dritte Liga, so in the third tier. Two places below Dortmund's second team.
Right. But in terms of who they've knocked off in the cup so far, big scalp. So it's a shame for them, real shame for them, but really excited for Kaiserslautern.
I've got a couple of
good friends who are Kaiserslautern fans, so they'll be delirious.
Kaiserslautern, a reminder, Kaiserslautern are a huge club in Germany.
Huge, they're absolutely huge, exactly.
And internationally, actually. So,
this would have been a fourth giant killing. Would have been a fourth.
Yeah. I mean, Berlin is going to be absolutely wild on the 25th of May because Kaiserslautern fans.
They'll bring it.
They brought it. They've already been to the Olympiastadion once this season.
Let's be real. Some are already here. Some are already here. Yeah. Under our noses.
But I mean, you saw how many fans they brought for the quarterfinal against Hertha at the Olympiastadion.
Met some of them.
So, wild. They will face Xabi Alonso's Leverkusen, who are now on a 40-game unbeaten run in all competitions.
Wild.
They beat Fortuna Düsseldorf 4-0. Jeremy Frimpong opened the scoring very early on. Lovely goal, as was Amina Adli's second for Leverkusen's second. Florian Wirtz with a brace, one just after the half an hour mark, and then his first senior penalty, apparently.
I sent a friend a text before the game, big Fortuna fan, to wish him the best of luck, and thank God I got the text off in time, because in a couple of minutes the dream was over. I will say this very quickly, just the thing about Leverkusen is so distinctive when you watch them. They have this thing of like players that move slowly, but the ball that moves really fast. They hammer it. It's a bit like watching electricity go down a series of pylons. Like you have the stationary objects, and then the ball is just like zipping between them. It's kind of hypnotic, actually. You could see they hammer the ball into feet in the box, then hammer it straight out again and just get dragged all over the place. By the time the ball enters the net, it's almost like an act of mercy. Give the opposition a breather, but they were really impressive. And to be honest, I loved the way they started this game. They were very much in the, this is not a giant killing.
No, not today.
Not today.
That's not going to happen today.
Not today, Spartans, no.
Some really, really good news for them as well. Even more good news for Bayer Leverkusen is that Victor Boniface returned after 105 days.
Very much with the energy of a man returning after. So there was 4-0, there's like 2 minutes to go, and Frimpong, He plays the ball into the box of Frimpong and he's screaming for the reverse pass to the tap, and then Frimpong doesn't deliver. And the best thing is, so Boniface is like, my man, like, I haven't fed for so long. And Frimpong, the thing I love about Frimpong's face is just, he's just completely clueless. It's like, what? What? Like, we get these chances all the time. He goes, no, I don't. I've been out. Imagine you're Boniface. You've watched everyone else feasting.
Listen, man, everybody eats.
Everybody eats, yeah.
But I think great. Oh, it's amazing. If you think about it, like Alonso and Leverkusen have managed to navigate over a quarter of the season without him.
Yeah, it's unreal actually how they've just adjusted. I mean, even yesterday, tactically, they Schick was slightly more withdrawn and Wirtz was up the top. Like the whole, the way they shuffle the pack, Leverkusen, is so impressive. And also Boniface's absence now sets them up really well for that Europa League run because Schick has got his eye in. This is so good. I mean, I mean, it's unbelievable to be talking about Leverkusen as a treble proposition. I mean, if you said to Leverkusen,
they were on for a treble in 2002 as well, though. So.
Yeah, but this is different. This is so different.
This is different. This is very different. And
that did not feel like a juggernaut. That felt like brave Leverkusen, giant slaying, going brave through Leverkusen. United. Yeah, Leverkusen. Yeah, they were going, but everything was kind of. Every final they got, certainly the major stages, felt like them against the world. Mm. And people made lots of jokes about them, but part of it was almost, I mean, I looked at that and just thought, yeah, but to even be there. And it was more, not that Michael Ballack was a huge factor and it was a team game, but you felt much more that Ballack's energy was driving, whereas this is so much more. And that was a great Leverkusen team, so not knocking them. The collective effort here is really striking in terms of the interchangeability of the talent. The only player that's truly irreplaceable, maybe apart from Wirtz, is Xhaka, funnily enough. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, you can kind of get away with them swapping out. So yeah, just an incredible achievement from Leverkusen. And they've just played gorgeous football too. For the couple of members of the podcast community that listen to us that haven't seen them yet, please check out some highlights. They're a thrill.
Are they this season's always watch?
You know what? They actually are. I think they deliver.
We've picked this up late.
They deliver every week. They really do, actually.
It's always fun.
Actually, no, it's probably Bologna, isn't it? If we're being real hipsters. It's probably Bologna.
Yeah, you can't have a top of the table side as always watch. Well, speaking of Italy.
Yes.
First leg of the Coppa Italia semi-finals this week.
Yes.
Juve beating Lazio 2-0 and Fiorentina beating Atalanta 1-0.
Yes. Lazio had actually beaten Juve earlier that week, so Juve returning the favour.
Yeah. Coupe de France semi-finals were also this week. 2 goals for Alexander Lacazette against Valenciennes put Lyon through to the final to face PSG, who went through 1-0 against Rennes.
No other than Mbappe coming up with the goods.
I'm hyped about that final. Weird season for Lyon. You know, they're kind of like now climbed up to 10th.
Yes, after the crisis of the early stages.
And they looked in big trouble. They were early on. Yeah, but they're on a bit of a nice run now.
They looked gone, actually.
They looked very gone, yeah. If you think, like, we were talking about Ajax and Lyon early on in the season, and they were both like in the relegation spots.
They catfished us in a good way, I suppose.
But yeah, some good cup games this week. However, we need to turn our attention to the Premier League. So I reckon we do that next.
Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids' session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Right, man, should we begin in Manchester?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
This was, okay, so Manchester City 4, Aston Villa 1, Phil Foden hat trick. I suppose the scoreline eventually as close as, well, game as close as the scoreline suggests. City kind of ran away with it. Massu said, first of all, the absentees that Villa had. So, missing John McGinn, no Ollie Watkins, no Emi Martinez. So they were affecting the build-up. And John McGinn in particular was exceptional. The game when they beat them 1-0, McGinn was outstanding. One of the best performances I've seen against the Pep Guardiola team in any season, yeah. Any competition. The interesting about this game was the frustration for Villa will be the equaliser they conceded, will be the second goal they conceded in first-time injury time. Because it's not, like, it's not. Yeah, they would, look, put it this way, like, City were superior by that point, but if you go into the break at 1-1, having scored a goal of that quality, it's demoralising, and you could see the Villa players. You can't always tell that motivation falls off a cliff. It wasn't motivation so much, it was more like they looked a bit despondent, actually, because they'd done well to get to the break. Taking the lead through Rodri, lovely late run from Rodri, similar to the goal that he scored in the Champions League final in terms of the movement. Reverse pass, releasing Doku. Doku crashes it into the box and Rodri rips it top corner. Really nice angled run. But then the counter-attack from Aston Villa was so impressive. They got into that left side channel, which City have shown some vulnerability from now and again in certain games with the high line. Mm. And at that point, at 1-1, if you just manage the game to the halfway point, you've got that chance. They concede that free kick, and the free kick goes through the wall from Foden. Which feels ball. Like it felt it's one of those mistakes where you're like,
This gave me an idea because I was watching Match of the Day and Alan Shearer Match of the Day. Couldn't believe, you know, it's not a thing that Alan Shearer is a fan of, the wall. You've just got to stand there. And
it wasn't hit with particular power either, to be honest.
No, I mean, it was a really bad ball, but it got me thinking about a potential episode we should do.
And
it should
that?
Be, you know, the 10 biggest football crimes in the eyes of, like, English ex-players.
Yes, that's interesting. You know? Showboating is one of them. Celebrations are certainly, I think, anything ostentatious, anything like
not
really.
Not shaking the hand. Managers not shaking hands.
Big. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Game's gone. What makes him think game's gone? Yeah, game's gone.
Yeah.
The game's gone
body
podcast.
Yeah, but there'll be a lot of body language stuff. Anyway, made me think we should just do a fun one day where we should like chart, we should do our own top 10 and then we should rank them.
The unthinkables.
Get people, yeah. No, you don't like to see that.
Well, no, because the things you don't like to see, things people love to see.
No, but they don't like to see it. We love
that's,
to see it.
That's true. That's yeah. true. That's
or you
true.
Just can't do that. You just can't do that.
Can't do that. You just can't do that. Yeah, yeah.
It basically, we'd have to ask Brian's Gun if they can like sponsor it or something like that because it feels like, you know, or if they could make a montage of each of the top 10, you know what I mean? But yeah, the wall was dreadful and it's so annoying because it's just like, Just stand in the wall, do your job.
Also, the thing
like,
is as well,
no
like,
having a wall there.
You know, the demoralization comes from when you realize how hard it is to score goals at City. Yeah. Like, it is so hard to score goals there. You go and score a goal of that quality, one of the best counterattacks you'll see against the City team, and then to come down that end and lose it there at that point. And I was just like, nah, this is over. I wasn't entirely correct because in the second half, fairly in the second half, Douglas Luiz gets a really good chance.
Should have scored.
And he hits it high. And he knows. He knows. He turns away from it. He hits it high, which gives Ortega a chance to palm it over the bar. But if he rips that in the bottom corner, it's 2-2. Having said that, City's chance creation in this game, there's a certain, not monotony to it, but a regularity to it, where you know you'll get opportunities and openings at a certain point. And one of the fascinating things about City this year has been Rodri obviously getting a lot more of a creative brief. a lot more instruction to enter the final third, because like his assist for Foden's second was glorious.
Yeah.
Just like an Iniesta style flip-flap, the croquetta in out and then flips it to Foden. Yeah.
All right, we have to talk about Phil Foden.
Phil Foden. He scored so many hat-tricks. He's called Phil Foden.
Phil Foden's third goal. Although there was a cushion, it was an angry goal, I think.
There was rage.
Because he thought he gets fouled. He thought he got fouled, sorry. And then it's kind of Wayne Rooney.
It's very much, arguing with the ref. Yeah, with the ref over a call you don't get.
And then just it's like, all right, fuck it, I'll go and get the ball back. Gets the ball back. And then I'm just going to smash this in. But as he smashes it, slips. It's got all the ingredients of a full-blown angry goal apart from the joyous celebration.
Right, yeah. If he'd really completed the arc, he should have gone and kicked kicked some turf or something. Yeah, like attacked some inanimate object, I think. But in terms of agony,
well, one of those ones where like they boot the mic and you hear it really loud on the coverage.
It was also funny because he doesn't score many from that distance. Actually, like from there, like he absolutely. You know, it reminded me of when Messi started smashing it. There was a period where Messi would just sigh if it finished his stroke. And then Messi's first angry goal is arguably in the Clásico. It's the first goal. I think it's the second goal of the comeback in his hat trick when he's 19. And he says, screw this. And he just crashes at top corner. And like everyone is sliding. Yep. That era of like La Liga when you're like people like Ramos, just like it was full on 2-footed slide tackles. And Messi's like, this is going high. And there was an element of that with this goal where, so he gets fouled. It's almost like, it was like vigilante rule, vigilante justice. Yeah. I've appealed to the football gods will not deliver, sucker.
Yeah, this goal deserved to be a last minute winner in a derby or something like that.
Yeah, it's strangely out of place because, Villa were done by then. But it's interesting to see what riles up players. And it's funny when you see it in real time, actually. It's his second hat-trick of the season. I think he's got 14 Premier League goals now. And just... City, I mean, it could have been 5. And it would have... It's so strange how quickly the game disintegrated from this is a tight encounter into City just proceeding to roll away with this. And it's so interesting because they're in that position in the league, but they're the most... It's funny. They're the most capable of just winning all the rest of the games. Like, you can really see City. Like, don't get me wrong, I think they'll drop points, but when you see them like they were in the last 20 minutes... It's part of it just thinks this team could just run through everyone.
Yeah, but also kind of like wild that they can do this without De Bruyne and Haaland. Although Haaland's form has been a topic of debate recently. I was actually quite surprised that they can do this to a Villa side who were so good against them in the first game. I know they've got some injuries. Watkins and McGinn, like you mentioned, and Martinez.
They're huge absences.
Yeah. Massive, right down the middle of the pitch. To be fair, Robin Olsen put in a really, really good performance as well. He did not deserve to be on the end of a 4-1
No.
Defeat. None of the goals were his fault either. Yeah, it looked a little too easy. I actually thought Villa were okay, but I thought that there just seemed to be another gear that City had.
They were okay until the kind of Luis...
I think...
Up until then.
There were positives in Villa's performance. I think Unai Emery afterwards was really, quite forthright. He was just like, listen, they were better than us. They were just better than us. But it does make you think, though, how Pep will go into certain games throughout the rest of the season and how it'll line up. Because I do think that front, like a front three of like Foden, Alvarez, you could put De Bruyne in behind there and push Silva wide. But I think having actual wingers playing on the wing last night was quite a good thing for City. It allowed them to just look a little bit more City-like.
That's right, yeah, really stretch the back line.
I do wonder whether there's a discussion to be had about whether Haaland features in certain games that you would expect him to feature in for the rest of the season, which seems a wild thing to say. You know how much we rate Haaland. I wonder whether that fluidity kind of reminds them of the old City a bit.
And I wonder if the priority for That's interesting. I wonder if the priority as well for Pep though at this point, obviously the league is important, but the Champions League really, I'm not saying that he sacrificed Premier League, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying if you're going to rotate, if you had to choose between Haaland being like on it and not in certain games, then you choose the Champions League at this point. Because in that competition, I mean, look, Arsenal, there's no one better really than Arsenal in closing those gaps now. You have an excellent defensive team and allied with that, a coach who spent a lot of time with Pep and knew all the things that Pep didn't like. So if anyone's prepped to stop Arsenal, it's Arsenal. In the Champions League, I think even if he doesn't score, and this is like me sort of getting this in early, even if Haaland doesn't score in these late stages of Champions League, he'll be absolutely vital. He'll be essential.
Oh my God, yeah.
To their success. Yeah. So I just think he's being saved for that to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I totally agree.
But what he does is exhausting him. The guy is like barely touching the ball and he's running all the time. Like that is just not a emotionally rewarding or enjoyable experience. And some of those misses, and some might say I'm just defending him for the sake of it, but look, when you don't have many touches and you get like flashes of chance despite not having possession for a while, it does throw off your rhythm. And if you're going to run around that much, then may as well just, you know, call the engines and save for the Champions League when you get more reward for it, I think. A bit more spaces in those games, ironically enough. So yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think the injury has just really knocked his kind of...
sharpness.
But also understandable, you know.
They're weird though, City, because Pep getting Alvarez in, who is like stone cold, brilliant centre forward, and turning him to this like sort of hybrid. And, you know, Alvarez seems fine with it. Like, you can play anywhere. But there is a kind of sense where I feel City have lost a fraction of attacking sharpness by not using him more often as a nine and just playing right through him all the time.
But this is, again, this is my point to kind of like, you know, if you look at how Gabriel and Saliba, they kind of locked off Haaland on the weekend.
Yes.
I'm not saying that this is because Haaland isn't as good as whoever else I name here. I think it's because he draws focus, right? And he also draws attacking focus. I think that teams will struggle to deal with City's movement and fluidity in attack if Haaland's actually not there. But that also means that if he is there, he's such a potent finisher still. He's still one of the best finishers in the world, right?
Yeah.
Even though he's dropped, like, he was 18 and 24 in the league this season.
I'm like, terrible.
I mean,
terrible numbers.
So bad.
Shocking.
He's over. He's washed, man. He's done.
He's finished.
But still, like, it's not quite as...
It's not quite as
on it as last year. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
But this is a guy with such an obscenely high level.
And ceiling. I think now, you know what it is? I think Haaland, the reason why he's not having as good a season this year as last year is that I think that teams are much more taking on defending him as a collective responsibility. Like, they're really dividing up. Really, you know, I'm not saying they weren't before, but I think there's a level they've taken it to where, like, four people will have it. It's like when Ronaldo was at his peak in the 97 and that man mark. Sorry, I'm just laughing because there were people audacious enough to try and man mark Brazilian Ronaldo, and it never worked out well for them. And you saw the teams that actually had more joy against someone like Brazilian Ronaldo. They threw two bodies at him. If you look at those the great Dutch teams, they would actually have like one defender and a covering defender assigned to him. And I think Haaland is getting that, you know, it's respect, the level of respectful treatment where he's got two or three people supervising him carefully in every rotation, which they should. So maybe it's that too. Maybe it's that, but he'll figure out. I mean, he's Haaland. Sure. Like, you know.
I mean, this isn't us by any means doing the whole like, it's over for Haaland at City. But I do wonder whether that connectivity that a different configuration gives them in the final third might be more beneficial for them in certain games, especially when it gets really down the stretch.
Yeah.
I think this was the encouraging thing for City last night was just how dynamic that front line looked. Five, if you want to talk about it, with Enrico Lewis popping into midfield next to Rodri, just looks really good. I think he's a really good player. And yeah, just I thought last night was really encouraging for City.
Not for everyone else.
Not
particularly nice. Yeah, yeah.
It's Manchester City. This is we kind of knew what it was.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Do you want to talk about Arsenal very quickly?
Of course. Yeah.
Quite calm. Not an amazing game. Really pleased for Emile Smith Rowe. Really pleased for the players who came in.
Looked good.
a well-needed rest for a few players as well. Some, you know, nice chance to rotate.
I know I keep saying this. Well, I know I keep saying this, but Arsenal, the 30th game of the season in the league, to have a business-like win at home and not have much to say, that itself is a huge sign of progress.
They've only conceded 4 league goals this year, this calendar year.
Like that, if you just consider, and again, like I know people get bored of me keep doing this, but you just look back 3 years, and a level of assurance and calm at this stage of the season is unthinkable. No emotion, got the job done early. It's, and I know a bit, you just have to keep saying this because a lot of people don't realize this still, but it is a new Arsenal. The old Arsenal isn't coming back. The old shakes, the old anxieties, the old insecurities, the chaos, it's not coming back. This is a new phase. William Saliba is 23. He's just gone 23. This is... It's over.
This is wild.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's something else, man. Like, early goal, like, you know, reminiscent of the Leverkusen thing. Get the thing over early. We know that Luton... I've got some
relatively early.
We know if it stays 0-0 for too long, Luton, a really good ball playing team. Yeah. We've got to get up on them early, start creating chances. We get a goal, we get in front, we close it out. Just professional. Really impressive. Yeah. I've got to say in Luton's corner.
These were good, man.
They were, but it's a bit of a shame for them that Nottingham Forest have kind of found some semblance of goal scoring form. Yeah,
we'll talk about Forest in a bit. Also, Luton were without a ton of players as well. They had such a big injury list at the moment.
I liked the Odegaard's opener. Was lovely. A nice exchange with Havertz. I really like that moment. There was that pass that he does where he like hammers the ball from his like left foot onto his right foot and scoops it through a gap. And I'm like, ooh, like,
yeah.
I'm too old for TikTok, but I hope that's in the rounds on TikTok. I hope that's going viral.
Really good. He's really good at just somehow getting the ball through spaces that shouldn't.
Do you know what he does? He actually, the one sense in which he's reminiscent of Ozil is that he does that stuff like that. And you're like, you watch again going, A, did I see it? And B, if I saw it, did he mean it? And he won't explain it. Like Ozil never explained that stuff, right? So then you had to it took like 4 or 5 years to be like, oh no, he's been doing that for a while. Definitely he's that kind of player. Like just throw stuff in there. Yeah.
It's almost like sometimes when you do the kind of left to right quick thing, you know, when like people think they're doing tricks and they just kind of go left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And you're just like, you're just moving the ball from foot to foot. You're not really doing anything. You know, they think it's like a skill.
To be honest.
You know, and the legs come out a little bit. It's almost like you're a bit like,
not doing anything. Yeah. Just keep it moving.
It kind of looked like that. It looked like something that could, but I like the way that he does a lot of that stuff where it's actually like, no, this needs to happen, which is why this is happening. It's not because
it's super smart. It's like the highest form, the most refined form of, everyone sort of calls stuff like that street football, but it's using tricks that are so unorthodox. You could easily see like in, you know, suburbs of Paris, like skill videos. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We mentioned Emil Smith Rowe, but really pleased for him. Involved in both goals. Kind of playing a little bit of a different role. Talked about this with Andrew, a lot more physical, a bit slightly deeper. And it was really encouraging to see him playing that role, actually, because I think that if he is going to get serious game time for Arsenal, that's where it'll be.
There are minutes there. There are really minutes to be had. You know, Fabio Vieira has been maybe in and out more than he might expect.
He also was injured as well.
Also, they're putting there's a lot of mileage on that middle three. Mm. There's a lot of mileage on they could really do, you know, the kind of hours that Rice is putting in.
That was the first time we hadn't started a game this season in the league. So,
right, so you can do with some rotation there, for sure.
Let's move on to some other games, because Arsenal are momentarily top and we'll wait for the Liverpool-Sheffield United game. You want to shout out Brentford, Brian, quick?
Not much in this game. Not much went on here.
Dude, can I just say, more generally... Go on, you go.
I saw a piece, it was sort of saying, oh, De Zerbi's losing a bit of his luster. And I just thought, bit of a harsh one to hang this game on, because... You look at Brighton are in the league. Well, also just the general trend, but you look at Brighton are in the league, and like we joke about this, but like Brighton, where they're sitting, I think they're a real victim of like expectation. Like, they sold two of the best midfielders in the Premier League, in Europe, frankly. One of the best young midfielders in the world, one of the best midfielders in the world in McAllister and Caicedo. And look where they are. Like, this is... I know people might feel they haven't kicked on. They might look at Europa League defeat as a disappointment, which it was. And also, and maybe Brighton fans will be like, yeah, you can't keep saying, look where we are. But I also think that De Zerbi is a slight victim of expectation. You cannot just keep flipping huge players and expect to remain at the same level, especially when the clubs above you in the table have got more of their act together, you know?
It gets disheartening as a manager when you're trying to achieve stuff, especially if you start having people like Bayern coming after, or like rumours with Bayern.
There was an animated Klopp video they made in Germany a few years ago about how Klopp built this beautiful treehouse or whatever it was, and then every year Bayern would pluck away the key player.
Oh.
He built this beauty, you know, like when Gertz or whatever started with that, but it just went, it kept going on. And it was really a sense of, I look again at this and just have a bit of sympathy for De Zerbi, because I see some of the criticism and just think it's a touch unfair. Like, he's an outstanding manager, and whether he stays at Brighton and goes somewhere else, that will always be the case. Anyway, so yeah, it's my rant. That's all I've got to say about
his kind of vibe is very much just like, yeah, I might bounce, actually.
You think?
You know? He seems a bit like grumpy De Zerbi.
A shame. I mean, both him and Brighton will be fine if he does that. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I enjoyed this game though, and I quite enjoyed Thomas Frank after just being like, oh, you know, it's great going up, you know, us kind of trying to outthink each other, and it was just like, 33% possession to 67, you know, five shots to 24. But I get it, Thomas. I get it. Yeah. It was a good game. I enjoyed it. For a 0-0. A good 0-0. All right. Should we talk about Tuesday's games quickly?
Let's
talk about Forest. Because Forest in this first half was so good. And I'm also just a bit worried about Fulham.
They've had a couple of roastings.
Six goals in back-to-back. Yeah.
Yeah, they got the 3 all against. They rescued the Sheffield United game. But in this, they got absolutely hosed down.
Fulham are quite high risk, high reward at the moment. Mm. Their last few games, losing 3-1, drawing 3-all, winning 3-0, losing 2-1, winning 3-0, winning 2-1. It's all of like there are goals there in Fulham game.
I mean, it's not dull, is it?
It's not dull.
Given that much. But this was, you know, all about Forest in the first half. Gibbs White was absolutely cooking. It's amazing how much responsibility he takes at such an age. Mm. And it's one thing doing that at the top of the league, you know, of course, with all of that visibility and pressure. But at the bottom of the league, relegation zone, to play with that level of freedom is so impressive, actually. And to play the kind of football they're playing. This is the thing about what he's been doing. It's not kick and rush, like Forrest are playing, they're trying to play their way out of trouble. And that's huge credit to them. He was the orchestrator in this first half, scored a superb third after he put in Hudson-Odoi for the first. And
which was a great goal.
And this is the thing, I mean, and this is not to knock Forrest, it's not about that. It's really good to see Hudson-Odoi, you know, getting it back together to some extent after disappointing spells and part at Chelsea, had that injury, went to Leverkusen and was the one part of the Xabi revolution that never caught fire. And that was really sad to me, because I thought if any coach could really get it out of him, it'd be Xabi Alonso. But in hindsight, I think it was just a moment too soon, actually. I just think the Leverkusen ship was already sailing and he wasn't ready to be part of it. I don't think he was up to speed yet, because it was like Tuchel said that thing about, like, he loved Hudson-Odoi early on. And he basically talked a lot about, look, we're moving, we're getting ready to go. And I think Hudson-Odoi just needed a fraction longer to get into form. And Tuchel was like, look, we're already Champions League bound. Like, he already had a clear vision. And I think Leverkusen, that team, the year before, they had momentum. And in hindsight, if you look at the quality and the way they're all performing in that side, Hudson-Odoi was coming back into form after injury. I think it was too soon for him. So I'm really happy to see him, you know, getting on the score sheet, and he's an exceptional talent still, and I hope Forrest get that out of him. But a great win for them. Really great win.
Yeah, I mean, also a great goal from Chris Wood. Just a really clever goal that sent
Bernd
Leno was just look, like, it almost looked like he dropped Bernd Leno at the top of the key. Do you know what I mean? Like,
a crossover, it made Leno look worse than he was. Yeah.
Yeah, because Leno's positioning wasn't even that bad, and basically he was just he was kind of...
It was the shoulder, wasn't it? He threw a shoulder.
Yeah, but there was also, I think Leno's view was, he couldn't see
slightly obscured.
Chris Wood. Yeah. And I think it made it just all look a bit...
Yeah. It's a great finish.
In a way. But it's a great finish. It's one of those, and that's back-to-back games that he's had clever finishes in. That little header on the weekend was really smart. Mm. That one was really good last night, on Tuesday, sorry. Yeah. Impressive.
Finishing clinic. Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah.
And actually, talking quality of coaching, Bournemouth.
Oh.
Lurking. Bournemouth beating Crystal Palace 1-0. Glasner's been there only a handful of games at Palace. So, you know, no shame in losing this one. But a late winner from Justin Kluivert, and Bournemouth lurking in around. I mean, look, Europa Conference League is like outside chance. But the fact that it's a conversation is something, you know?
And so this 4 points behind West Ham with a game in hand.
Dude, it's a conversation. You know, not a bad goal difference either. It's...
Minus nine.
I don't think they'll make it, but because there's just too much to make up. But what an impressive!
I mean, dude, the fact that they could even finish top half is unbelievable. Yeah. Areola's just done a great job. Another good result.
Yeah, definitely, very much so. Yeah.
Elsewhere on Tuesday, Newcastle won. Everton won. Newcastle had a load of people missing, but. This is a massive point for Everton. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin's first goal forever.
Yes, yes.
A penalty, which he was actually... Oof, he kind of snuck that in as well.
He did. That. God, he needed that. Just on this, some notes. I might have said this on a previous episode, but the thing about Alexander Isak, just... it's the kind of goal he's scoring. Like, his highlight reel this year is... the amount of times that guy gets the ball 40 yards from goal, and you're like, yeah, he's odds on for this. Like, you have confidence with this guy receiving the ball, two defenders coming in, and you're like, yeah, I actually fancy him in this situation. And this is happening time and again. Mm. And he's not necessarily in a team where, actually, I could see him somewhere like Sacridge. You know, if and when Haaland does move on, let's say to somewhere like Real Madrid, Isak in that Man City team is frightening. Because the build-up stuff comes a little more naturally, and also he can do the solo stuff.
I think he'd be a really excited for that. Right. Yeah.
And he just fits. He fits.
Yeah.
Hell of a player. And really impressive opener from him. Newcastle probably should have closed it out before. And I'm just really glad that they didn't concede. They almost had another catastrophic own goal to follow up the Seamus Coleman one. So I'm glad they clawed something back. Big point for them, because they are obviously still in a bit of trouble in the league.
Yeah, it stopped a run of defeats. I think there were three defeats on the spin before that, and they got Burnley at home on the weekend. So
Yeah,
good point for Everton.
Very much so.
Speaking of Burnley, good point for them. Two good points in two consecutive games. They drew 1-1 at home to Wolves.
Mm.
Jakob Brun Larsen opened the scoring for Burnley, and Ryan Aitnori got the equaliser.
I love him. He's a lovely footballer, actually.
He's mega. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good result for, well, I was going to say it was Vincent Kompany, but was it Vincent Kompany? Would he have been on the bench, or would it have been Craig Bellamy, right?
I think suspended for this one.
Yeah. Good result for Burnley. Ahead of the Everton game. West Ham United won, Spurs won. This is a good game.
Started with a bang. It didn't end up as goal laden as promised. I mean, two goals in the first 20. Very well worked goal for Spurs, for the Johnson one, actually. Timo Werner doing Timo things. That run, that, like, is one of the most dangerous. He's one of these people that has, like, a special skill. This inside left channel.
You're saying Timo Werner has a very specific set of skills.
We need to do, like, a taken 11 of players who are exceptional at one very specific thing. We need to name
what that thing is in the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Inside left channel, Timo Werner is like, I'll cook anyone in that situation. Zuma with the equaliser, and that actually was that for the scoring. I mean, not in terms of the action, but in terms of the scoring. And not a result that massively shifts the needle for either team.
when it got to the end of the game, it got very cagey. Mm. And basically how almost it was like, right, let's just get to the end of the game now. And then for the last 90 seconds, it just went fucking wild. Chaos. All of a sudden, it was just like end to end for a bit. It was like the game got zoomies.
Zoomies.
I mean, it was just about to go to sleep, and then the game got zoomies, and it was very fun actually. And there could have been a goal for either side in that last like.
Isn't it always funny when a game gets ridiculous? You know, there are some games which start ridiculous. We're in for one here.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, maybe Spurs, I suppose, might be slightly disappointed not to steal the march on Villa. They might have been expecting Villa to come away with no more than a point from that encounter.
Well,
so they could have pushed on. If you're looking at playing West Ham and you see Villa have got a game against City, you're thinking, well, we could pick up points here.
Spurs are in a really good position. North London derby at home coming up as well.
Mm.
I think it's going to be tricky. Arsenal have got a host Villa. So if Arsenal beat Villa, it could. Spurs and Villa have got a lot to play for in their own seasons for finishing top four, but also in, I think, affecting the title race. So,
yeah. Any other Premier League drama?
That's it from the Premier League. I want to talk about one thing though before we go.
Yes,
because it's almost like the. You know, you were talking the other day about like football AI doing transfer rumours.
Yes, which you hated.
We were talking, this was at the live show, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Well, I saw a rumour today that linked Rodrigo to Manchester United.
No, he can't do that.
Almost in a kind of, he's taken the Moussa Okwonga beef so personally. That he's going to I'm going to move to your club.
I'm a volume scorer. Remember the moment I said...
Since he's shifted, he's actually become a bit more of a volume scorer.
No, that's exactly it. Exactly. He has. The moment I was like, I don't think he's a volume goal scorer. He's really like stepped up, man. He's... But that's Ancelotti's coaching. Ancelotti saw that we can tide over this attack. We're waiting for a striker to bring in. I still... Not to sound churlish, I still think there is... an issue of volume of goal scoring. I just
check this from Marker posted a thing saying he scored 8 in 11 games on the left, 7 in 31 on the right.
That's really impressive. Yeah,
interesting.
But again, it's the left, isn't it?
Real Madrid are going to end up with a bunch of players that can only play on that left hand side.
Endrick arriving too.
Yeah,
Arda Güler, Endrick, Mbappe, Rodrigo, Vinicius. The math is not mathing. Someone's going to lose out. Brahim Diaz, someone's going to lose out, man. Even if you alternate to like 4-3-3 and 4-4-2, and with the volume of games Madrid play, a couple of forwards are going to end up unhappy in that situation. Mm. And Rodrigo's probably, unfortunately, the most likely. Unless, of course, you have a situation where Vinicius drops out of the rotation and he ends up leaving. Especially the stuff happening off the field. Like, that guy is really going through it. The abuse is really going to...
see him at Man United?
Actually, no, it sounds like a weird thing to say. Not for his sake, strangely enough.
Oh, don't do
is
this.
It's the Sancho thing. It's like, do you want a player of elite quality to come to a club? Yes, you do. But you want them to come into a setup where they'll thrive.
Where would Rashford go?
I've had my thoughts on this for a long time.
PSG.
But I thought for his career, and this is, look, people say I'm a clown for this, but I thought that actually as part of a rebuild in PSG, I thought it would have been a very good move for him, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, at the time I thought it would have been.
At that time, I think at this point, they've got the makings of an excellent front three there. And the new...
They're not going to sign a player like him.
The new part ownership is making really quietly impressive moves, or at least noises, and I think it's worth hanging around for that. And we've seen it. Look, we've seen this. How many times he said in the last few years, players who should have stayed put at certain points. And I think we're seeing that a lot more now.
Yeah,
a lot more. Yeah, players and coaches who should have stayed put. Quite frankly,
yeah.
You know,
I agree.
I don't think there's an... I don't think at this point there's a move out there for Rashford better than what he currently has. I just don't think there is.
No, I agree.
Hometown love, great money, new ownership. Hang around.
I agree.
Thanks, Rodrigo, for proving.
I mean, it's just a rumor. Yeah. Just a rumor. Just a rumor, honestly. All right, I reckon we bounce, huh?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
We hope everyone's staying safe, staying well. We'll be back on Monday. Some good football this weekend. Man United, Liverpool on Sunday.
Yes. Never forget the time I was doing some, it's my fault, I was doing some event, which I've been booked for months in advance, I must clarify, and came out to find that they'd been done 7-0.
Oh, no.
Then had to rewatch it. Yes, in its entirety.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well,
the gleeful Liverpool fan who imparted the news. So happy.
Don't forget to check the Stadio Archers playlist on Spotify. And today we are playing out on Jamasa Roro by Astaria. Anything you would like to add, Musokwonga?
Nothing further.
All right, everyone. Much love. Have a great weekend. And we'll be back with you on Monday.
See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app. Today.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.